This is our second week in the kingdom parables, but this is our first parable. So if you missed last week, that's totally okay. We talked about what does kingdom mean. It is, I actually have it written down here. We said that it's the realm in which the truth that Jesus is king is an actualized reality, which means it can be something in your life here and now. If you live the way that says that Jesus is king, and that's actually a reality, the kingdom of God is already among us, and yet there is still a future where that reality will be a permanent reality for all of us who believe in God and have accepted the gospel of the kingdom. We'll get to live for all of reality. We talked about parables. What does it mean when we talk about parables? It's a short moral story, often expressed with imagery and metaphor. It's very rarely just a sentence that's just straightforward, then it wouldn't be a parable. It's usually a short story or an analogy, a metaphor, all of these types of poetic usage of imagery in order to teach a simple yet profound moral truth. And that is why Jesus taught in parables. We talked about many different reasons, four of them, of why Jesus would teach using parables. And actually, today's parable actually talks about why Jesus would talk in parables. Which, you know, is crazy because the disciples that were with Jesus say, why do you teach in parables? And he's like, did you not listen to the first parable I told you? Because he tells a parable. Then they say, why are you talking like that? And he's like, the answer's in the parable. So let's hit the first parable in Matthew 13, the parable that we often refer to as the parable of the sower and the seed, or the parable of the soils, if you like to be a little bit more pointed, but whatever you might have as a heading in your Bible. Today, we're going to talk about the first parable Jesus tells in Matthew 13. So verses 1 through 2 give us the kind of introduction to the parable. Before this, crowds have started to follow Jesus, and Jesus is recognizing he's got a lot of people following him, and they follow him wherever he goes. He's become quite popular, and he was just at a house where there were so many people that his family members couldn't get to him. And they told the people in there, hey, we need to talk to our brother and to my son Jesus. And Jesus uses this to say, like, well, who are my brothers and sisters, the people who listen to my word? And it's like Jesus is getting surrounded by people all the places he goes. So he goes to the seashore. He goes to have a nice, relaxing time at the beach, like Terry and Dave and Elaine recently. And he goes there, and what happens? But the large crowd follows him. And so being on the beach, it's not a very conducive spot for a lot of people to listen to one person, you know, generally pretty flat. And so Jesus gets into a boat and pushes away from shore a little ways so that he would be higher than the crowd, and then the water helps carry sound, and then everybody would be able to see and hear him well. And while he has the crowds there, he says, he teaches with this opening parable. So this is the setting in which Matthew puts all of these parables, whether all of these parables were told that specific day, that is the setting he wants you to have in mind, because this is the setting that Jesus does. He gets a large crowd, he teaches in a parable. Now, when he's with close friends or small groups, you don't see him teaching in parables all that much. Part of that is because why Jesus talks in parables is particularly important when there is a large crowd. And so he opens with this. He tells the parable of the sower. It's not a very complicated story. It's literally about a guy that goes out and throws seed on the ground. So Jesus says, I want you to think about this. Think about a guy that goes out and throws seeds into the fields. Now, this is a completely different way of farming than we do, but also this was likely like small grain farming, like wheat kind of a situation, and they didn't have these large powered tractors and all these other cool tools. And so it was a different way of doing the same thing, planting crops so that it would grow, so that you would have something to sell, something to eat, and something to store so that you could do it again. The methods are argued about, whether you would till the soil first or you put the seed down and then you till it in. And I'll just let you know that that part isn't all that super important for the story. So we're just not going to dwell on that. The point is, there is a guy out there, he's taking seeds and he's casting seed. in order to plant. He's not just throwing seeds because he likes throwing seeds. It's not a wedding procession where he's just chucking seeds at people. He's trying to build a field. So he goes out there and he's reaching in this bag and throwing. And that's what he does, like, all day to try and plant this field. And Jesus says, I want you to think about it, because when you do that, the seeds go all over the place. Now, obviously, we're trying to get them to land in the field. That's the whole goal. But they don't all land there. So I want you to think about where these seeds land. He says, so some obviously land on the path that he's walking on. The really firm, packed down path that, like, nobody's going to grow any crops on. So think of it like a sidewalk, okay? So if you're on the sidewalk and you're throwing seed, sometimes the seeds land on the sidewalk. The seeds on the sidewalk don't produce any sort of plant at all. In fact, the birds are very thankful that you did that, so they come and they eat the seeds, and maybe they will successfully plant it somewhere else for you. But the seed that lands on the path doesn't germinate, doesn't do anything. It becomes food for birds. Okay? So we got it. Then there's other seeds that land in what is rocky soil. And what I don't want you to think about is like the rock mulch bed we have out front. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is soil that's got so much rock in it that there's not that much dirt. Okay? This is one of the things that I realized doing dog fencing with in fences, that there's several properties, especially in the nice developments. The reason they all have irrigation systems is because their dirt is mostly rock. There's like an inch or two of dirt and then rocks from the construction process. And if you don't have an irrigation system to water, exactly what happens in this parable happens. The sun comes out in the middle of the summer when it gets super hot and there's no rain, and it all dies. And technically it goes into dormancy, but it looks bad. It's just brown, okay? And this is what Jesus is saying is, you know, when you're out in the field and you cast it, there's certain areas that the ground is just not real good. It's got a ton of rock in it, but you'll still see plants grow, because when it's early, when the weather is favorable, the plant will grow. But as soon as the heat of the summer comes out, that soil prevented it from growing the roots deep and enough to support the plant. And when the heat comes, it dies. Then there are some other places where the guy's casting out there that there's thorns, or we would, you know, if you think about just super weedy areas, or you think of it like shrubs, like there's a bush line alongside the edge. And when the seeds that are there, they'll grow, but the weeds or the other unfavorable plants or the shrubs outgrow and prevent the plant from growing, because it blocks the sun, it takes up all the nutrients, it takes the water, and the plant is just unable to grow to the point where the rest of the field is growing and producing a crop. That seed that made that plant died. Okay? Yet, and Jesus would say, the vast majority, hopefully, if the guy's any good at his job, lands on decent soil. And it is planted, and it produces the correct kind of plant in order that it would produce a healthy crop. And Jesus says that it results in an astounding harvest. He says sometimes 100, some 60, some 30. And even like 30 times what you went out to plant was considered a really good harvest. So when Jesus said, you know, some of these seeds that you plant produce 100 times, and what he's saying is, of all the seeds that went into it, the harvest at the end is 100 times what you put out there. Okay, now that's really good news, because if you put out 100 seeds and you end up with, what's that, 10,000? Trying to do math live, that's awkward. Yeah, you get 10,000, right, grain back. But you're not putting out 100. You're putting out thousands, and you're getting 100 times more than you put out there. And this is including the seeds that landed on the sidewalk, in the rocks, in the weeds. The crop of the stuff that lands in the good soil is 160 or 30 times more than all the seed you invested. Okay, so what we have here is just a nice little tip on how to have a garden, how to grow some grain, and that's what Jesus wants you to do with it, right? And then he tells them at the end, this is what he ends with. He says, anyone that has ears, let them listen. Okay, well, but I did. I heard what you said. There's a guy that's going out there, he's putting seed all over the place. The seed that lands on the sidewalk doesn't do so good. It gets eaten. The stuff that lands in rocky soil, if it gets hot and dry, it won't live. The stuff that's got other bad plants around it is going to choke it out and it won't grow. But aim for the good stuff, good dirt, and we'll be set. And Jesus says, here's a challenge. If you got ears, let them listen. Well, why would he say that? Because what he explains it to his disciples who come to him and say, why are you talking in parables? And he says, okay, so that this is the reality. He's saying, in this crowd that has come to hear from me, you're not going to get the same response from everyone. This is why he starts with this parable. He's talking to the crowd and saying, listen, if you want to come and hear me, you're going to have to be receptive. You're going to have to listen. And there are people in the crowd that don't want to listen. They're there for other reasons. And because of that, because of the hardness and callousness of their hearts, like we talked about last week, they won't receive the message of the good news of the kingdom that Jesus is giving to people. See, Jesus' first kingdom parable actually is about why it is some people don't receive the message of the kingdom, but told in such a way that only people who listen to Jesus are going to understand what it is that he's talking about. The good news for us is that this parable is explained in greater detail by Jesus to his disciples so that we don't have to be contemplating, maybe this is the meaning of the parable. Jesus says, this is, okay, so I told the lesson. Now I'm going to tell you exactly what the lesson means in the following verses that we read in our scripture reading, starting in verse 18. So if you'll turn to Matthew 13, and then if you need to, maybe you don't, I'd have to turn the page to verse 18. The disciples come up to Jesus and say, and there's a good possibility that like they're on the boat with Jesus, and they're like, I don't know that that's what the people want to hear, because the first message is given by Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, is like, blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit. And, you know, he's telling all of these things that seem like, okay, well, these are just normal things that we can hear. And we listen. And he opens this time with a parable about some guy throwing seed. And most of the disciples are not farmers. They're fishermen, tax collectors, and various things. It's not like they don't understand how plants work, but they're saying, like, what are you doing? And Jesus said, so that the people who have receptive hearts hear, and those who have closed hearts don't, because this is to reveal to you if you have an open heart or not, is if you're receiving the word. So let me explain it to you, is what Jesus says, and he does in the following verses. So verse 18, you then listen to the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word or the message about the kingdom and doesn't understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the one sown along the path. Here's what we have so far that Jesus had explained. Is that the seed is the message about the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay? Because in all of these different scenarios, the seed is the message about the kingdom. So he starts with the first one, the sidewalk. Says, okay, so the seed was thrown. The seed lands on the sidewalk. Person with hard heart, who doesn't listen, who doesn't want to understand. The seed that is spread there is snatched away by the evil one. Satan comes along and he says, oh, this seed isn't going to do anything here. I'm going to take it away. I'm going to eat it. The message that is sown on those with hard, calloused, closed-eared, closed-minded hearts doesn't produce anything. There's no plant. And Satan makes sure that there is zero chance by saying, like, let's get that out of here just in case. Because there might be some dirt in the sidewalk that it could grow in. So Jesus says, this is what it is. The person who has a hard heart, who doesn't want to listen, that is the hard-packed path. They outright reject the kingdom gospel because they lack the spiritual understanding of what was told to them. It says they don't understand it. This isn't to give us the understanding that, like, we just didn't explain it clear enough to them. It's not because it was too hard to understand. They refused to understand it. They outright rejected it because they don't have the spiritual understanding necessary to see why this message about the kingdom is important to them. And so Satan comes and removes the message that was sown on their hard heart. So that one, I feel like we get pretty understanding, right? In Jesus' day, there were the Pharisees who should have been receptive to the message of the kingdom, and they just outright denied it. We have that experience in our lives where we try to tell people about Jesus and how much he loves them and wants to save them from their sin, and they just, I don't want to hear it. And nothing really happens. But what's interesting is that there's two soils here before the good soil that if we were thinking of this story, we would just say, well, there's two types of soil, sidewalk and good dirt. But Jesus says that there's four types of soil. One's the hard-packed path and they're not going to receive it at all, and the birds are going to come take it away. But then the second ground is the rocky soil, the soil that has some dirt, and you would think that if you put seeds on it, it should grow. But if you dig even deeper, there's too much rock, and so when the heat comes, it is unable to sustain the plant because of the rocks. Okay? So the rocky soil, Jesus talks about in verse 20. The seed that is sown on the rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. It says that the seed that was planted in the rocky soil springs up real fast because there's not a lot of dirt. I'm not a biologist and I don't understand it exactly, but it is to say like it's not going to waste its time putting down roots if it can't do it, right? So when you buy like a bush and you put it in the ground, like for the first 2 years, all it does is grow roots. It doesn't actually do it hardly anything as a bush, okay? And then eventually it starts growing. That obviously is not the exact same thing for a food crop, but that's the idea, is it doesn't have the ability to send down the roots, and so it just grows the plant real fast. Then in verse 21, yet he has no root in himself, but is short-lived. When pressure or persecution comes because of the word, because of the message that they had so joyfully received, when persecution comes because of that, immediately he stumbles. So the rocky soil represents those who are so enthusiastically receptive of the word. They hear the message that says, like, here's the message of the kingdom. Jesus wants to be king. He's going to rescue you. He's going to set you into a place where you get to live in this kind of life that is so fulfilling. And people are like, that's what I want. And they sign up. They're like, put me down for everything. I'm all in. And then at the first hint of trouble, where things aren't going the way they expected, the way that they had planned, when the sun comes out and it's really hot, and the reason that they are experiencing these persecutions, these pressures, these problems is because they believed the message of the kingdom, they wither and die. They enthusiastically receive the word until trials and persecution come. And the reason that that is the case is this soil, this person, they abandon the message of the gospel because they expected it to promise them a happy life. Does it sound like any messages we might hear today? I said, you believe in God and your life will be perfect. You won't be sick anymore. And suddenly, Christians will just be super wealthy all over the place. I'd love to see where that actually happens. But we were told this. And people hear it and they're like, sign me up. That's the life I want. And when it doesn't happen, and actually it becomes painful to them, they don't have the spiritual depth to withstand the heat. And so they wither. Then there's the weedy or thorny soil. And Jesus talks about that next. He says in verse 22, the one sown among the thorns, this one hears the word, but the worries of this age and the seduction or pleasure or deceitfulness of this seduction of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So Jesus talks about the third soil, which is the one that has plants growing in it that are unfavorable to producing a crop, right? There are some weeds there already. There's some thorns, which means the person doing the gardening probably doesn't want to be over there much because he's going to get scratched. And these ones are going to grow faster, and they're going to rip nutrition out of the soil. They're going to overshadow the plant so it doesn't get the proper sunlight. It's going to take everything that the plant needs in order to grow away from this seed. This weedy soil represents those who hear and or receive the word, not necessarily in an enthusiastic haste like the last person, but they're like, okay, I actually have reasonable expectations of what the promise of the kingdom is, but it still signed me up. But what happens to them is that the cares of this world, their day-to-day needs, the things of their physical lives take more prominence in their hearts than the gospel of the kingdom. They're still worried about their lives. What am I going to wear? What am I going to have in order to provide? What am I going to eat? How is my life going to turn out the way that I want it to? Can I grab this and that while I'm doing this? They're worried, not necessarily even in like a huddling in fear type of a way, but the things that they want from this life overshadow the things that the kingdom of God is offering them. They said, like, yes, I want what the kingdom of God offers me, but I also want this, and I also want to have a good life. I want to have a great family. I want to have enough money to take care of myself. I want to be well-liked. I want to be popular. And these things become more of a focus in their life than what the kingdom gospel is telling them they should be focused on. And what happens? Well, if you think about it like a plant, this blocks any future growth of the plant. And so it too won't produce a crop. That's what it says in the parable, is that it becomes unfruitful. There's still some plant there. It's like the you know, plant corn every once in a while. There's always like this ridiculous corn plant that's about this tall with a tassel and doesn't have anything on it. And it's like, well, I mean, technically it's a corn plant. Did it do anything? Not really. It probably just wasted all the stuff in the dirt for the other corn that actually produced corn. And that's what's going on with this plant. It's like, there's something there, but it's unproductive. It's not doing what it's supposed to do. It's there. There's something to see. It's not dead. But it really didn't produce anything to be expected out of it. And then finally, Jesus gets to the last soil, which I think is probably the easiest one, especially once you realize that all these other soil types are a response to the message about the kingdom of God. He gets to the good soil, which shouldn't be all that hard for us to imagine what the good soil represents. It represents those who first accept the kingdom gospel, the word, the message of the kingdom with soft hearts. Okay? They are not the people with calloused hearts, shut up ears, and closed eyes. They're the people who say, I receive that message of the gospel with a soft heart that says, I care about what God has to say to me. Secondly, they understand the promises of the kingdom and don't have wrong expectations like the rocky soil of having an easy life. And so because they do that, because they accept the message of the kingdom with soft hearts, they can withstand persecution because they send down roots deep so that when the persecution does come, they don't just wither away and abandon the message and get rid of their loyalty to Jesus. They're ready to face some hardship. Does anybody want to? No. Would every plant love to have shade when it was too sunny and enough water? Yes. And that's why your house plants probably aren't doing very good if you don't take care of them. But this kind of soil produces a plant that can withstand the kind of heat, pressure, and persecution. And people who with soft hearts who receive the message are like that. They also properly make growing their spiritual lives their focus. Good soil that doesn't have all this other cares, things that concern us, the things that we want, the things that we hope to grab onto, the things that give us security, make us feel good about our lives. The things of this life are not the focus. That doesn't mean that those things aren't ever taken care of. In fact, the epistle writers get on people's case all the time for abandoning going to work because they're like, well, it doesn't matter anymore. But the soil that receives the message, that produces a good crop, understands that their focus needs to be on growing in the kind of plant that they're supposed to be. So they're going to not worry about all these other things in life. to be distracted by. They're going to focus on the message of God growing in their life. And the result is that it produces an astounding harvest of spiritual fruit. 100 times what was thrown out there. 60 times what was thrown out there. Because if it lands in good soil and the plant grows and continues to grow, because that is its main job in this scenario, the soil is to grow the message of God in that person's life, it will produce a very fruitful crop. It will actually overproduce to make up for the seed that was thrown on dirt that wasn't receptive. So this is what Jesus says is the message of the parable. And we can leave it there, and there's even plenty of things for us to contemplate. And this is what Jesus was introducing, these sets of things, is he wants you to think about, what kind of dirt are you? Because Jesus is about to tell you all sorts of things about the kingdom of God. He's going to tell you all about the good news about why Jesus came. He's going to tell you all of these things, but where is it going to land? And in a crowd that was following Jesus, all of those soils were represented on a regular basis. And Jesus knew that. And he wants to challenge the crowd. Are you going to listen? Are you going to be the good soil, or are you the sidewalk? Are you going to listen, and then the second bad things happen to you, you're going to wither and die? Or are you going to sign up for this like you sign up for everything else and just add it to your never-ending list of things that you're committed to, and I'm going to have to fight with all these other things in your life to have any kind of priority? What kind of heart are you going to receive this message with? There's a lot of significance to this parable of the sower, seed, and soils. First, I'm going to tell you that one of the things that is significant about this parable is that the parable of the sower is an exemplification. I made these all EX words, so if you're writing this down. Exemplification of Jesus' ministry on earth. So before we even get to the part where we like to talk about this is just receiving the message of salvation, it's not. I mean, that's included, but there's more to it than just, like, are you saved or not? Because, honestly, the plant in the weed soil, I mean, who knows? There's a plant, but it doesn't produce fruit. And, like, that's the point, is, like, it's supposed to be confusing. But there's more to it than just whether or not someone believes the message of the gospel. So first, the parable of the sower is an exemplification of Jesus' ministry on earth. This story of the sower and the seed is exactly what Jesus was doing while he was here on earth. And what I mean by that is that Jesus came to spread the gospel of the kingdom and invite people to come. He's the sower, if we look at it from this angle. Jesus is out there throwing message of the kingdom left and right, everywhere. And he's not terribly concerned about where it lands, because the seed that lands in good soil is going to outproduce the stuff that lands in bad soil. And so he's out there telling everybody about the message of the kingdom, even though he knows that there's a sidewalk. He's not being stingy and being like, nope, I'm going to step over off the sidewalk to make sure I don't waste any seed over here. He's throwing the good news all over the place. And the thing that is probably the most astounding when we think about the parable of the sower as an exemplification of Jesus' ministry on earth is that even Jesus' preaching produced a mixed result. They all heard the same words, but only some believed. Jesus, you know, God in the flesh, talking about himself and the eternal plan that he and the Father and the Spirit have been crafting since before the foundation of the world, came to this earth and told people, you're welcome to come to my kingdom. And people had the nerve to be sidewalks. Even Jesus' ministry produced a mixed result. Jesus was prepared for that. Jesus knew that that's exactly how it's going to work. They all heard the same message. It wasn't like Jesus talked to the sidewalk people and gave them some intricate puzzle that they could never solve so that they wouldn't understand it, so that they would be condemned, and then go talk to the rocky people one way. He talked to them all at the same time in the crowd, and he says the exact same words, but those with soft hearts received his message. And it produced a crop. in their lives and the lives of people around them and the lives of the generations after them, Jesus' ministry is very much like the parable of the sower. Second, this parable is significant because it is an example of our mission on earth. So it's an exemplification of what Jesus was doing while he was on earth, but it's an example of what we're supposed to be doing here. The Great Commission to go share the gospel with all the nations, to tell them the words that Jesus instructed us with, to make disciples out of them. This parable tells us how our mission is going to be. First, it tells us that we are to indiscriminately spread the gospel everywhere. Go to the ends of the earth, telling everybody. So many of us, when it comes to evangelism, sharing the gospel, telling somebody about Jesus, we're worried about how do I prep their heart. We're worried about, do I need to do some plowing? Do I need to put some fertilizer down? Do I need to, you know, take all the weeds out of their hearts first? And like, that's not your job, first of all. Jesus says, listen, you just tell everyone where the seed lands, what kind of dirt it lands in will produce the outcome. But like, your job isn't to worry about making sure that you only put the seed in the correct dirt. Now, I would say if you're planting a garden at your house, you probably should take a little bit more care than casting small grain or oats, okay? You probably should plant your carrots in a row, even though this one carrot won't be in the row for some reason, right? You should probably try and take care, but don't over-spiritualize your gardening into the gospel mission we have on earth. We are just to spread the seed everywhere, because any seed that lands in good soil is going to outproduce the seed you wasted on bad ground. So even if the person that you think you're talking to has such a hard heart towards God, in every conversation you have, share the gospel. Because it does exactly what Jesus used parables for, is to reveal the Father to whom Jesus chooses, to reveal to those who have calloused hearts that they are people with calloused hearts, and so that other people can see that they have calloused hearts. It helps us understand if they are receptive or not. So just sow the seed of the gospel to everywhere. Don't obsess about the kind of soil it's landing in. The soil that it lands in that is good outdoes any seed wasted on wrong, unreceptive soil. Secondly, it tells us that the kingdom, the message of the kingdom, will expand through the abundant overflow of the word in a person's heart. If you are a person who has received the message of salvation through Jesus and Jesus being your king, and you want to live in that active reality that Jesus is king, the kingdom will continue to grow. It will continue to expand out to more and more people because the word of the kingdom has grown in your heart to the point it now produces its own seed that then can be planted again. This is how this kind of crop works. If you produce 100 times what you put out there, you have enough to eat, sell, and save so that you can plant again. And this is the kind of picture that the sower and the seed in the soil gives us, is that the word that is effectively grown inside of someone's heart then produces the ability to continue to sow, to produce more and more and more. And finally, it helps us in our understanding of how this is an example of our mission on earth, is that it shows us that we need to have the wisdom and understanding that there are going to be various responses to the message. We need to prepare our hearts for that. I'm going to get to this in a second, and the profound eternal truth Jesus is revealing. But we need to understand that it's not because the seed is defective. And it's not because I threw in the wrong place. It's because the soil wasn't receptive. And that crushes us when it's people we care about. But it is our mission to throw seed. It is not our mission to make sure all soil can grow. It's not our job to go alongside the person that's being outshadowed with all the cares of the world and say, like, we'll just give you a bunch of extra water. We'll never tell you, cut things out. Our job is to throw seed, and understand that even because of Jesus' ministry, there was a mixed response, certainly to our ministry is going to have a mixed result. And yet the result that lands in good soil will outperform all the seed that was quote-unquote wasted. Third, other than an exemplification of Jesus' ministry and an example of our mission, the parable of the sower is an examination of our heart's condition. This is where likely most of us have understood this parable before. It does tell us whether we are believers and citizens of God's kingdom. It tells us where we are likely to struggle when it comes to spiritual growth, and it should be giving us direction in our lives. I don't think it should come to any surprise that you should all want to be the good soil. But in case you needed to hear that, you should be the good soil. That hears the message of the kingdom, understands it, believes it, and then chooses to live in a way that says that it is actually true. We focus on growing spiritually so that we can produce a crop, so that we can sow seed. We don't let the cares of this world interfere with the growth of this, the spiritual message of God's words in our heart. It gives us direction on what things we should care about. It gives us understanding that life will sometimes be difficult, and it will sometimes be difficult because you believe in Jesus. And if you are the good soil, you will withstand, and you will still produce a crop. Now, a crop like that might only produce 30, 60 times, still overproducing for the seed that was sown. So when we hear the message of the sower and the seeds, we should ask, well, what kind of dirt am I? And this far exceeds the message of salvation. It doesn't exclude it. So today, you might be here, and you've heard about how Jesus came to this world to save us from our sin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross. He rose from the grave. God offers us salvation through him. And you might not have received that in the good soil. You might be concerned with all the things that are going wrong in your life. You might say, like, sign me up, but the second something gets hard, you're going to bail. There is an element to this where it is a message of salvation that needs to be received. But it is not just the message of salvation. So first of all, if you're the sidewalk, I'm going to pray that God softens you. If you're the rocky soil, I'm going to pray that we get to be a part of the ministry of adding dirt to your soil. If you're the person getting strangled out by the cares of life, I want to be the person to come cut all that junk out of your life for you. Okay? But it is not just about whether you're a believer or not. That's not what this parable is about. That answer isn't where it stops. It isn't just, well, true believers produce a great crop. All of us can struggle caring about the things about this world. All of us can face persecution and say, you know what, this whole Jesus thing ain't working for me. Even while being a Christian, you can say that. This message is about what you do when God sends a message into your heart. We can all have various times and seasons in our lives where our hearts might be hard, but only about one thing that God is telling us to do. We might be just so stubborn that we're not going to treat people with kindness because they don't deserve it. Maybe we won't receive God's word to love our neighbor because they're impossible. We can all have various soils when it comes to various messages from God. And the goal is that you should be a good soil for all of it. When God says you should ask for forgiveness, you should. When God says you should forgive someone, you should. But it tells us about our heart's condition. It shows us that they're broken, in desperate need of Jesus. And that ought to be the focus of us receiving God's word. So then in closing, I told you that Jesus taught in parables to reveal profound eternal truths since before the foundation of the world, things that have been true. What kind of eternal truths does Jesus reveal in the using of this parable? Is first that God's message, the gospel, the commands that he gives, the comfort he offers, the wisdom, the warnings, the love, and the judgment will not take effective root if you just hear it. The seed was thrown and it landed. Just being in the presence of someone saying something good from God and you hear it doesn't mean it will take effective root in your life. The seed has to make it into soil that is able to support the growth of that message in that person's life. It needs to be able to send down roots so when things are hard, it still grows. It needs to not be choked by other things that are coming against that plant to produce a smaller, less productive plant. So all of God's message, all of God's words, all of the things God has for us cannot take effective root if we just hear it. Pretty sure it's James says you can't just be a hearer of the word, but a doer also. You have to support the growth of that message in your life. Second profound eternal truth that Jesus reveals in the using this parable is in any given population, doesn't matter how big, how small the crowd is, the household is, the town is, in any given population, it should be expected that there will be a puzzling response to the exact same message. This is what Jesus' disciples and those who were receiving the message were confused about, because there were people in the crowd that heard exactly the same thing they heard and had the exact opposite response. And they're like, I'm confused. And we can be confused, because if it has taken effect and root in our lives about what Jesus has done for us and what he wants us to be doing, and then somebody else that sits next to us at church or Bible study or in our house responds completely different, it can be confusing. But the eternal truth is that in any situation, it's expected that not everyone will receive the same message the same way. And you can take that and apply it in all areas of your life too. I mean, just communication in the workplace. You send the exact same email to four people, you're probably going to have four different responses to what you said. That's an expectation. Although it is a frustrating one, it's an expectation that people will not hear the same message the same way. And then third, this parable really reveals what Jesus' ministry and the entire Bible, no surprise, is pointing out. It is the heart, the soil of those who hear God's message, the seed. It's the soils. The soil is the cause of defective growth. The dirt in this situation is always why the seed did not produce a fruitful crop in that dirt. It was not the seed's fault. It was the dirt. There's something wrong with the dirt it landed on. It was so hard-packed, it wouldn't receive it at all. It was so rocky that it couldn't protect the plant and the continued growth because of the heat. The weeds that were surrounding the plant stunted the growth because the dirt was defective. This is the message of the Bible. Our hearts are the problem. Our hearts are where all of the issues we struggle with come from. It is the ground. It is where the root of all of the things that our lives produce, good and bad, come from. It's your heart that is the problem. And God told Israel that time and time again in the prophets. You need a new heart because your heart's producing all sorts of garbage. I don't want your worship if you're not going to give me your heart. And Jesus says that even if you kept all the Ten Commandments, but you hated your brother, you looked at someone with lust in your heart is the problem. Your heart is the reason that you cannot be near to God. And Jesus' offer is, I will fix your heart. This message of the sower and the seeds, again, just reinforce. It is not the message. It is not how you said it. It is not the power or authority of the message that Jesus gives, whether it be to a Christian struggling and needing help, whether it be to an unsaved neighbor or relative, whatever the message of God is coming, it is the heart that prevents it from growing. God's word doesn't return void. It needs to be received in good dirt in order to grow. So let's try to commit ourselves to being good dirt. Help each other have good dirt for hearing God's word being sown into your heart so that it grows. So that when it grows, it outproduces all the seed that was thrown on the sidewalk into the rocks and into the weeds. So that then you can take the things that produced a fruitful harvest in your life, and then you can grab a head of grain and go sow it again. And let the message of God spread indiscriminately. Don't worry about where it lands, just throw it out there. Because the seeds that do land outproduce all of the seed that you're throwing. That is the promise that Jesus gives to us, is that if we just sow like he sowed, there will be a harvest, and it will be an astounding one. Particularly when you say, like, well, feels like most of the day I'm just dumping seed on sidewalk. But the parts that do produce far outproduce the waste. And nothing goes to waste, because it is why Jesus spoke in parables, is why Jesus went ahead and taught to people who hated him the messages of the kingdom. Because it provides people with the evidence of what kind of heart they have, whether it be calloused or soft. Dear Father, we pray that we would be people who have received your word, your message of salvation from sin. And we pray, if any of us are those kind of soils that are just really struggling to produce any sort of crop, that our church, their friends, their relatives would be able to be an encouragement to help produce a lasting result. And we pray that that would be true. And if that is not true of everyone here, if there's someone here who has not yet received the word with correct expectations, feeling like you've let them down in the past, they've tried the whole Christian thing before, it got hard, they quit for a while, they came back and did it over and over again, we pray that we would receive your message of love and salvation with good, soft dirt, and that it would produce a crop in our lives so that we can continue to spread that message to those around us. But we pray also that we would be receptive to all of your words, all of your instructions, all of your commands, all of the comfort, all of the promises that you give us. We pray that we would be people who would receive all of that with good soil. That we wouldn't lack trust and faith in this one area because it's hard or because we don't see it. We pray that we would learn to trust you and that we would listen to you. We pray that you would use your spirit and those of us who are your children to produce a fruitful life that others can see your word growing in us. And we pray that you would give us the wisdom, prepare our hearts for the fact that as we try to fulfill the mission you give us, it will be puzzling how it is that we throw the same message out and some people receive it, some people reject it. Other times it seems like it's working and then they disappear. Help us to not lose heart. Help us to keep throwing and sowing seed everywhere we go until you bring your kingdom here permanently and forever. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.